Good morning, Village Church. My name is Jaron, and if you're a guest with us today, then welcome. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is good to be with you this morning. Merry Christmas. I know that Christmas has officially come and gone, but today we're going to linger in the season as we close our series on the generosity of God. As we do this, let us first look back at the past 5 weeks of Advent, examining the generosity of God through biblical history. In this series, we have seen the promise of God's generosity from the prophet Isaiah. We've seen the reason for God's generosity from the Gospel of John, the favor of God's generosity from the Gospel of Luke and his orderly historical account. We've seen the heart of God's generosity from the Gospel of John, and we saw the response to God's generosity from Matthew's Gospel on Christmas Eve. And this morning, on this final Sunday of Advent, we come to one more vignette, one more ripple or snapshot in the biblical story of God's generosity. Today we explore how we, how you and I, how the people of God become the conduits of God's generosity in this world. For all you gift givers out there, the idea of being a conduit of God's generosity probably hits really close to home, especially this time of the year. You understand the quiet joy of giving something to someone that brings them delight. I feel this too. Few things bring me more joy than being generous with my family, offering the best of what I have because my Father in heaven has been so generous with me. The whole tradition of giving gifts at Christmas flows from this place. A heart that delights to give, a God who loves to bless, and the surprising joy of being used by him to bring delight, encouragement, or even to meet a felt need. So let us see how God's people are the conduit of God's generosity. They're one of the more beautiful, compelling, and provocative passages in the entire New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This passage of scripture may be the benchmark or the biblical example of what church unity looks like. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've certainly encountered this passage before. It is framed on walls. It shows up in Bible studies. It lives on coffee mugs. I've seen it on Instagram posts. It's in devotional readings. And I think it's because when we read this passage, something inside of us stops and something whispers, yes, yes, that. That is the kind of life that I want. That is the kind of church my soul longs for. A people in community, a people in fellowship, sharing meals, living in awe, living in wonder, with glad and with generous hearts. Everyday life lived in the presence of God. And friends, this is a good thing for us to desire. But wanting this and becoming this are not the same thing. Because Acts chapter 2 is not the result of some great strategy. It's not the creativity of the church leadership team, and it is not the result of a well-run organization. Acts chapter 2 happens when the generosity of God breaks open the human heart and the Holy Spirit births a new kind of community, a Spirit-led community, a kingdom community, a loving and a generous community. And that's why we must begin this morning with the words of Jesus in John chapter 18, verse 36, when Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." If Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, then the community that forms around him will not look like the communities of this world. Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, does not advance through political power, through military violence, or through force. Earthly kingdoms rise by conquest, while Christ's kingdom advances by truth and love through the work of the Holy Spirit. This new community will not be built on self-protection. It will not be built on personal comfort. It will not be built on convenience or on ease. It will be built on generosity, on sacrifice, on forgiveness, on hospitality. This community will be built upon the Spirit of the living God dwelling among his people. Let me start with a confession, friends. I love the Village Church. Being part of this church community is one of the great joys of my life. My wife Pam and I have been faithful partners here for over a decade. This community is the only church my children have ever known. After service today, you will likely see both of my kids running through these halls as if they owned the place. This is our home, and we are deeply invested, and it is good. However, when I used to imagine my life, especially my married life, I had a plan. A well-thought-out plan. A plan that was completely centered around my own personal preferences, my own desires, and my own comforts. There were no children involved, and it went something like this. Work hard, invest well, save aggressively, retire early, travel everywhere, live quietly, enjoy life. It was my introverted version of the American dream. And it was so Orange County. Nothing overtly sinful, I mean selfish in nature, absolutely, but it was a life that required no faith. And it was a life that required no generosity. Then, as he does, God interrupted. Because God loves us too much to settle for small and petty lives. To settle for self-centered lives. For comfort-driven lives. So he, like the skilled potter he is, he begins to press on the clay. He shapes, he refines, he redirects, he gives purpose, and he gives meaning. And then you realize that the plan that God has for you is always better than the plan that you had for yourself. Because God's plan gives you the life that you were created to live. And it always leads to more dependence on him, more love for others, and more participation in his kingdom. And that is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a story of ordinary people whose lives were radically changed by Jesus. These early believers were average people. They were fishermen, merchants, mothers, widows, tradesmen, farmers. But these people had seen the risen Christ, and it changed them. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and Peter preached the gospel, and the Spirit pierced hearts. 3,000 people were saved in one day. Talk about church growth. Their church exploded. And their lives did not just change on the surface, their way of living changed. Their relationship to possessions changed. Their relationships to people changed. And their understanding of community changed. Because once you meet Jesus, and once you accept his standard, you are always changed. You cannot encounter his generosity and continue to hoard. You cannot meet his mercy and stay bitter. You cannot receive his spirit and desire to live isolated. You cannot know his love and remain indifferent. This community was not created by human effort. It was created by the Spirit of God. And that is good news, because the Spirit who formed them is the same Spirit who dwells in us today. So this morning, as we walk through Acts chapter 2, we're going to pause and we're going to look and see how God is giving us little glimpses of the same kind of generosity here at the Village Church in Irvine. This is a great church family. It really is. And what makes this church so strong is God's redeeming work through Jesus in the people here. and the Village Partners. But we are not a perfect church. We're not close. But still, God is gracious to this community, and we regularly see imprints of his beauty break through. Moments where the generosity of God becomes so visible through the generosity of his people, through you. This morning's text gives us a snapshot of what the church can be, what the church is created to be. We see a community sharing a life in common. Because the church, imperfect as we are, is the place where we see the image of the invisible God take shape in real time through real people. Now let's see how this unfolds in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, a devoted community. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." The first mark of a spirit-formed community is devotion. This is not casual interest. This is not convenience-based attendance. No one's saying, "I'll show up when I can," or "I'll commit to it when I have time." Rather, this is a life of devotion. Devotion is defined as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or an activity. I'm devoted to my wife and family. These people were devoted to the word. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to meals together. They were devoted to prayer. Friends, we do not want to be devoted to lesser things in life. Let's look at each one of these. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. This means that scripture shaped their worldview. It shaped their ethics, their relationships, and their generosity. And when God's word is central, generosity grows naturally because the Bible is one long story of a generous God. Biblical authority and gospel centrality are two of our church distinctives here at the Village Church. We believe it is important to be in God's word daily. Pastor David has been faithfully leading the way with our Village Church reading plan. And honestly, we try to keep it as simple as possible here. Every year, as a church family, we go through the scriptures together. Our church Bible reading plan reads mostly chronological. Every day, you get some Old Testament and some New Testament, and most days, you get to read a psalm. One of the gifts of practicing this together here at the Village Church is it forms a shared language with us as a community. As Village Partners move through the Bible reading plan side by side, something beautiful happens. You may find yourself in conversation with someone you've never been in conversation with before, yet there's an immediate sense of connection because you were in the same scriptures that morning, listening for the same voice, being shaped by the same words. And with this, conversation can come easy, or easier. Not because of small talk, but because you're living in the same portion of God's word together. And the 2026 Village Church reading plan starts tomorrow. So it is a perfect time to step into this with us. You can grab a bookmark in the back on your way out today. And we also have new bookmarks with the New Testament on them for those of you who have kids old enough to join us in this reading plan. Those bookmarks have 260 weekdays with 52 weeks a year. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. That's one chapter per weekday. It's families reading God's word together. The math works. Let's jump in. Friends, we must be people who immerse ourselves in scripture if we want to be people who are shaped by God's spirit. This is where God speaks. This is where he forms us. Everything else in our discipleship flows from the steady, slow encounter with God's word. We can't expect the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives if the roots aren't sinking deep into God's voice. This is our foundation. This is where transformation happens. And this love for God's word has a large swath of our village partners memorizing scripture together and challenging each other to memorize God's word. Next it says, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Koinonia in the Greek. This word means a shared life. Real fellowship. This is not coffee hour chit-chat. This is not surface level catch-up. This is not football highlights or Netflix recommendations. This means you see me. It means I see you. It means we carry one another's burdens. We share life together, even when it's inconvenient and even when it requires sacrifice and it becomes uncomfortable. Village Church, being in fellowship with you is a great joy. It is an easy thing to want to be in fellowship with this community. And I know I am not the only one who feels that way. This is a church that golfs together, where mountain bikers and young moms meet up at parks, not always at the same time, where we all go to Salt Creek together in the summertime to enjoy long days together, where half this church packs up tents and heads to Yosemite every summer. Life together here, it just happens, and it's beautiful. This is also a place of loving accountability. Every Monday morning, bright and early at 5:45, I get on a FaceTime with a brother who loves me. He knows me, he hears my confessions, and he reminds me of God's grace. I also meet with two of our elders every week for elder accountability, and Andrew and David help keep me on track. And honestly, this place, friends, is where I see the kingdom of heaven breaking in most clearly among us, right in the middle of our fellowship and our shared lives, the way we carry one another towards Jesus. Next, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. This includes practicing communion, and it also means sharing meals with one another. They ate together. They lingered. They enjoyed the presence of one another. They slowed down. They shared stories. They laughed. They remembered Jesus. Meals together became a spiritual practice. Homes were spiritual spaces, and dining room tables served as church pews. We see this at the Village Church when we take communion. You will certainly see the Lord's Supper as an important sacrament, and like all Sundays, you'll have an opportunity to take communion later in the communion stations in the back of the church. We also see this in hospitality around a table. If I asked the people of the Village Church if they enjoyed Xavier and Trina Lamone's cooking, I bet I would get a resounding yes. I might even get an amen. And that's amazing, right? The fact that one family can change the tone, the culture, and the feel of a congregation. And that's what the Lamones have stepped into here. Along with the Parks and the Espinosas, these families have linked arms, and they have formed a quiet, faithful team of servants who can grill. And month after month, they show up to feed our church family on Sundays, and they show up to feed our youth on first Wednesdays. And through something as simple and as sacred as food, they have practiced the way of hospitality. They have extended their tables, and in doing so, they have opened their hearts. They've shown us that hospitality is not just about meals, but that hospitality is spiritual in nature. And that's why hospitality is one of our core values here at the Village Church. Hospitality is important, friends. We are called into this. Their biblical vision of good food and biblical hospitality has reshaped the way our first Sundays are at the Village Church. But hospitality more often happens around your house or my house as we invite one another into our homes and our lives for real gospel community. Last, it says they devoted themselves to the prayers. A praying church is a generous church. Why is that? Because prayer pulls us out of ourselves and into the presence of God. Prayer softens our hearts. Prayer frees us from fear. Prayer is the gift that makes us aware of God's presence, often hidden, often quiet, but always near. And if you need prayer, there will be an opportunity to come up to the front of the church and receive prayer right here this morning. That opportunity is here every week. The Village Church is a praying church. There are countless stories of God's faithfulness at work in the lives of our village partners and on display through answered prayers. Your faith would be stretched and encouraged if you pulled the McClearys aside or someone else on that prayer team and asked them to share about it. Pastor Matt Kaiser also leads a group of men who gather right here in the back of the church every Friday morning to pray for this congregation. Any man at the Village Church is welcome to come and join them at 6:30 in the morning on a Friday. Verse 43 continues, a community filled with awe. It says, an awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awe. That word means holy fear, a sense of the sacred, a reverent fear, a trembling awareness that God is near and that he is closer than the air in your lungs. Awe is the appropriate response to a holy God manifesting himself in miraculous ways. And this is what happens when the Spirit is active. The church becomes less ordinary, less predictable, less mechanical, and less safe in all the comfortable ways. Instead, it becomes a place where God answers prayers, where God moves in ways that cannot be explained, where God heals hearts and God reconciles relationships, where God draws people from darkness into light. Generosity flows from awe. Because when you see the generosity of God with your own eyes, when you experience his nearness, his care, his power, your heart opens, your hands open, your home opens, your schedule opens, your life opens, your heart really opens. Because awe makes generosity natural. Awe leads to thanksgiving. Awe drives us to become conduits of God's blessing. There are places where members of the Village Church are routinely in awe. I see this with Pastor Matt Bowman and our Apprentice Academy. The Apprentice Academy is a year-long program that follows the academic calendar where you study systematic theology and practice different spiritual disciplines in a small group of a dozen or so apprentices to Jesus. I see this in Pastor Matt Kaiser and a group of young men, often college-aged, participating in a year-long cohort, learning what it is to be a healthy man leading in vocational or bivocational ministry. I see this in Peter Shee, who's serving our children today, who started a biblical counseling ministry at the Village Church in hopes of bringing reconciliation and restoration to our partners. These, my friends, are places of awe, places where the Spirit moves and where light encounters darkness. These are places where the gospel is consumed and on display. Verses 44 and 45 talk about a sharing and a sacrificing community. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This is radical. They held their possessions loosely. They treated their money as a tool for their mission. They met real needs sacrificially. This was not a forced redistribution of wealth. This was not the government doing charity. This was not a socialist power structure. And that is why more hospitals and orphanages have been started by Christians for this very reason. The Christian structure of believers helping one another is better and more powerful than any welfare state ever created. Think about it. There would be no need for welfare if the church did its job. This was spirit-born, voluntary generosity from transformed hearts. Because the early church understood that God does not want your resources, God wants you. He wants your heart, and when he has you, he has what he wants. He wants all of you. And that's exactly what Paul commands in 1 Timothy chapter 6. As for the rich of this present age, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where the Macedonian believers, though poor, gave generously of their own means, of their own accord. Because generosity is not about income. It is about aligning your heart with God's heart. Village Church, you are an extremely generous church. And you have been extremely generous with 43 Post. This congregation here, in just 60 days, we have collectively raised around $900,000 for a down payment of that building across the parking lot. That's incredible, friends. And I see this in the generosity in the homes of our village partners. Bobby Mammasmith, who read scripture this morning, she opened her home to a friend, Liz, now Lee, a few years ago. And because Bobby opened her home to another believer, they both saw God work mightily in a season that should have been difficult. God grew them as Bobby was faithful to be uncomfortably jealous or generous. Let me be candid, friends. This is difficult. Living a generous life in community is something we must fight for. Everything in our culture pulls us towards isolation, to privacy, and towards accumulation. But everything in the gospel pulls you towards presence, towards sacrifice, and towards generosity. We are not conduits of God's generosity alone. We are conduits of God's generosity to one another. Verses 46 and 47 talk about a joyful, daily, hospitable community. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. I have two words for you, Village Church. Daily, together. This early church did not treat community as an event or a program or something you attend once a week. It was their way of life. They worshiped daily. They ate daily. They shared daily. They practiced hospitality daily. And day by day, they were together. And the result? Glad and generous hearts. Isn't that what you want, Village Church? A glad heart? A generous heart, a heart free from scarcity, a heart free from fear, a heart free from self-protection. I have two more words for you, Village Church. Praising God. Praising God. Continually praising God. One characteristic, the biggest characteristic of true revival is a desire to spend much time in worship. Daily together praising God. We see this beautifully in group life at the Village Church. Glad and generous hearts living in community. If you are not yet in a community group or a Bible study, join one. There is no easier way to be known than to be in community with one another. And as a reminder to the community groups, we want to encourage you all to live generously, to be conduits of God's generosity. And there's a $500 match from the church if your community group wants to align on a way to raise money and serve together. If you want a glad heart, and if you want a generous heart, you must be willing to invite someone in, into your home, into your routines, into your struggles, and into your story. This is where joy grows. Around dining room tables, in living rooms, through shared meals, on walks together, through shared life. Verse 47 concludes with a growing community. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Healthy things grow, not because people force growth, but because God breathes life. This church grew because they were devoted. They were awestruck. They were generous. They were joyful, and they were hospitable. And the Lord added. Village Church, I believe this text is here to be an example to all of us. We can learn from the early church in the way they sought God and saw his spirit move in their lives and move in his church. And with New Year's being just next week, there's no better time than to emulate the early church as we remake our 2026 plans and focus on our New Year's resolutions. What would we become if each of us lived a more devoted life? If we were awestruck, if we were generous, if we were joyful and hospitable. Village Church, we are growing. We have more partners. We have more Village Kids. We have more apprentice grads. We have more cohorts. We have more Catalyst Weekends. We have more mission trips. We have more men's advances, and we have more women's conferences. We're adding more services, and there are more ways than ever for you to serve. If you are not yet a partner at the Village Church, this is a great place to make your home. You're welcome to join us. And Village Partners, ask God to show you something you can take ownership of here. This isn't something you have to do on your own. This is something we do in community, joyfully. Friends, the Lord is adding to us, and we pray he continues to, for the glory of Jesus and for the good of our neighbors. As we wind down our time together this morning, looking at Acts chapter 2, looking at us being used as a conduit for God's generosity, how does the Spirit prompt you to respond this morning? We have been blessed so richly by God's generosity. Who can you share it with in this season? Do you sense an area that you're being called into to be a conduit of God's generosity? Is it time to invite someone over for a meal or into the life of this church? Do you need to pick up a couple of cards with a reading plan on it as you leave church this morning? Maybe not just for yourself, but for some friends that you'd like to be reading with. And last, what would we look like if we collectively became a wholly devoted community? A community fully devoted to the word, a community fully devoted to fellowship, fully devoted to meals together, fully devoted to prayer, I imagine we would find ourselves being used more often as conduits of the Lord's generosity. Friends, the good news of Advent is that God has already shown us unimaginable generosity in his Son. And so my good news statement today, and you know we want a good news statement every Sunday at the Village Church because Jesus is good, is that because Jesus has generously given himself for us, the Spirit now empowers us to pour out that same generosity on the world. Jesus is the ultimate conduit of God's generosity. And God has been generous to us through the gift of Jesus. Thus, because of his generosity, the Spirit works in our hearts, inviting us to be conduits of his generosity to each other and to the world who desperately needs it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you are with us, and we thank you that you sent Jesus to be a conduit of generosity. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see that and ears to hear that, and we would respond appropriately. We thank you for this community. We thank you that you are growing it, and we ask that you would give us vision with our part in it individually, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.